Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker Hagen, and I have my co-host.
And good evening to you today. Isn't it a beautiful day, the first day in the month of June, and just a time of new beginning and flourishings? And I'm excited because we continue to see new beginnings in the air.
Absolutely. You know, today is the 100th anniversary of the massacre on Black Wall Street.
Absolutely. And that's something that we definitely have to address, because the fact, in spite of the fact that many would like to delete that out of our minds, out of the history book, out of the annals of time, it is reality. And the impact is felt even to this present time. Whether we knew about it or not, it is still felt. And for that reason, we cannot allow it to be hidden, to be silenced about it. We must learn about it. And quite frankly, if there was ever a time for reparation to be paid, this is the time.
You know, I'm so excited about this because, you know, I'm like 60 plus and I'm just learning more about Black Wall Street because it wasn't taught to us in histories. We didn't know the under the backlash about what happened and how it happened. And it all started with this young man, Dick Rowland, who was accused of supposedly sexually assaulting a white woman because she was an elevator operator and he was a shoeshine boy, and he walked into the elevator and he accidentally stepped on her foot. Well, she ran out because he was Black. She said that he assaulted her, and there began the things that snowballed into something that was very simple and a mistake into something enormous that kind of wiped out Black businesses.
Yeah, and it kind of helped to perpetuate this narrative as if Black people could not be successful, that Black people could not own things. In Tulsa, that entire area was a living example of that. They thrived, they had their own banks, they had their own businesses on so many levels. And because of one thing, jealousy, racism, those things there perpetuated. Isn't it ironic that in this case here, it was a white woman, elevator operator, and a young Black male, so similar to Emmett Till and a white woman.
Right, exactly.
You know, and so once again, you know, we continue to see where they're basically saying, well, listen, you're not worthy to be in the company of a white woman. And then on top of it, in both cases, these were lies. These were lies that took the lives of innocent people.
Over 300 people died that day between May 30th, 31st and June 1st. So this is the 100th anniversary.
That's a massacre by any definition. That is a massacre. You know, today we deal with the things we call mass shooting. That's where it's four or more people that are shot or killed. That was a massacre at the greatest example, and yet and still a massacre which no one, according to history, ever served any time or was brought to justice about this.
Actually, a lot of the white, local people were deputized and given permission to shoot, kill, and destroy.
Well, perhaps one of the earliest twisted forms of stand your ground law.
Wow, I never thought about that.
You know, and so it keeps being reinventions of maneuvers and techniques and manipulation to justify the devaluation of Black people's lives and to hunt them down as if they were nothing but wild animals and to take their lives totally unfounded. And we have our history of that. Not only in Tulsa and Black Wall Street, but Rosewood, same type of thing happened where from one lie, it was
one
enough
lie.
To make them angry to just take the lives of so many innocent people.
Well, you know, I'm so excited tonight. We have three guests on. They are graduates from college and high school. And our first guest is Danielle Turnier.
Hello.
Hello, Danielle. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Where did you graduate from?
I graduated from Eagles Landing High School in Henry County, Georgia.
I didn't hear you.
Eagles Landing High School in Henry County, Georgia.
Okay. And how was it, this final 12th year of high school.
It had its ups and downs. Like, overall, it was a good year, but it had some real ups and downs. Like, football, I work with the football team, and I'm a student athletic trainer. And there were these COVID guidelines that excluded us from football completely. And I was very, like, hurt by that. So I went and I wrote an email, like, a 2-page-long paper, like, essay explaining why they should bring us back. So, like, the football team, because the entire county didn't have any student-led trainers. It was all cut. Cheerleaders were back. Players were back. All coaches were back. And I was just like, there's no way. Because if someone gets hurt in that field, there's only going to be one trainer out there. They can't handle everything. So I was just like, look, because I had my head trainer at my school calling me, like, look, you need to do something. Like, I need y'all back. And I was just like, I literally see what I can do. So I, like, woke up at 5 a.m. one morning, and I wrote that paper, and I got all the athletic trainers back in my county back to football for the entire season.
Wow.
Just
a mover and a shaker.
And I was very excited about that because I honestly didn't think I could do it. But that showed me, like, look, you need to stop doubting yourself and get stuff done. So, yeah, that gave me a lot of confidence.
You know, with the pandemic happening, I could understand for you and other high school students, you know, to have some degree of normalcy to be able to hold on to was very important to you. You know, it was already that, you know, things were shifting far as whether you're doing school in person or not in person. And so many of these guidelines had shifted and changed everything. So I really salute you for having the courage to say, listen, I know what you guys are saying, and I know what the guidelines say, but you need to understand those. Hey, look, the team needs us. And we in other words, you have proven the point that we are essential. We are essential individuals that need to be out there. And they, apparently they listen to you.
Yes, they did. I was interviewed by our Henry County Board of Education, and they had like a sports section on their Twitter, and they interviewed me and things like that, because they were like, we're so proud of you. Like, we didn't think that we could, like, move it, because it was a vote among maybe like 20 people. And I think it was about 19 yays and no. And, you know, of course, it was majority. And so, yeah, got it back that way. Because honestly, like, I was really shocked it even worked. Because I was like, look, let me just try it. Because I just woke up one morning at 5 a.m. I was like, let me just do it and see what happens. Because I wasn't just going to let it go. Like, that's my career. I'm very passionate about that, about athletic training. And it was like, when they took it, I was just like, what am I supposed to do now? Because I had been doing it for 3 years. My senior year was my fourth year. So I was like, I got to do something. Like, I got to at least say I tried. I'd rather try than just sit there and be like, woe is me, you know.
Wow.
But, yeah.
So you're an activist in high school.
Yes.
I'm excited about what the future holds. So what college are you going to?
I'm going to Georgia State University.
Okay.
Yes.
And you're majoring in?
Exercise science, kinesiology.
Okay.
And what made you choose that?
As an athletic trainer, it made me, like, when I was in high school, I was, like, stressed out about what I was going to do. I was like, I'm not going to be nobody. I got to do something. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, I've been working with this football team doing athletic training for about 4 years, and I was like, I've been doing what I love to do. I was like, let me just keep going with that. So I kept going, because I was thinking about this whole time, and I was like, I don't know what to do. But then I was like, I'm going after school every day. Every day working with this football team, working as athletic trainer, so why don't I keep just doing it? Because I love doing it. I love it.
Well, I'm so glad you're passionate about it. And I know that there are people that want to support you, to push you along in college, because this is what it's about. If we don't support our own, who will? And it, you know, we used to say it takes a village. It still takes a village to keep our community intact. And, you know, we were talking about the massacre that happened in Oklahoma with Black Wall Street. And here you are coming up already an activist, wanting to stand for something. How does that make you feel listening to this and then seeing the stance that you have right now?
It makes me feel you can make it. You know, you think about yourself like a high schooler. It can still, you got to stop downing yourself is what I'm trying to say. Like, you really need to stop downing yourself, because sky is the limit.
Absolutely. So right now you're trying to be unstoppable. So how can people support your vision of yourself?
Support my vision, like,
well, we're gonna definitely pray for you and keep you in the forefront, but we want people to remember your name, Danielle Turnier, because I believe you're going to be something great because you come from a line of greatness. And, you know, I know people watching and knowing that you're into sports and that's what you're trying to do and know that they've taken the same path. They may want to contribute to your vision, your dream of yourself. So what's your Cash App for that?
My Cash App is 316. Cash sign ANIMARIEE 16, Danny Marie 16.
Okay. So with it is expressing $ DANIMARIEE 16.
Yes.
For those that want to support you, I want you to stay in the studio. We have some more guests and then we're going to bring you back in, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So that was amazing talking to Danielle Turnier and realize that, you know, graduating high school, but in her senior year, she wanted to leave a mark. She wanted to leave a legacy that she created this and stood for her athletic department. She wanted to make sure that they remember her name.
And because of her act, it opened up the door for so many other people. Because of her act, the whole county recognized, wow, someone listened to her because she was willing and bold enough to put that in writing.
For the whole county, opened up the whole county. That is amazing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And our next guest we have is Desiah Johnson. How are you?
How are you?
You look so beautiful in your yellow blouse. How's it going?
It's pretty good.
So where are you graduating from?
Nova High School.
Okay. And where's that located?
Next week.
And where's that located?
It's going to be it's the old Lockhart Stadium. It's now, I believe it's called Drive Pink Stadium.
It is beautiful. That stadium, they had redone it a couple of years ago and then the pandemic hit, but it is a beautiful stadium.
Absolutely. That located in South Florida?
Desiah, can you hear him?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay. Is that located in South Florida or where?
Yes, it's located in South Florida, Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
Okay, so tell us about your senior year. How was it, especially during the pandemic, your junior and senior year? How did you transition?
My senior year wasn't as bad as I was about the pandemic. Honestly, for me, it made me a little bit more focused because knowing that it wasn't as hands-on as being in person in school. So it helped me get more focused and make sure that I stay on top of my work and everything. And honestly, it wasn't that bad. I still got to do like my sports and activities and just enjoy most of the year that I could.
Okay. And you were working as well?
Yes. Been working.
You've been working through high school?
Yes.
Wow. And holding it down so that you can graduate and you're going to college.
Yes, I am going to college.
Okay.
I'll be in Valencia 2 years studying in my associates in nursing. And then I'll be going to Bethune-Cookman to get my to study in business.
Oh, okay.
Awesome.
My son David graduated from Bethune-Cookman.
Yes,
he absolutely loved it.
Well, you have a great path there. Valencia is a very good college. I have a son that actually did a semester there as he transferred from one place to another and then went down the street there to UCF. But I'm telling you, it looks like to me that when we think of graduation, we think about the next class of movers and shakers. We think about the individuals who are going to shape the next 30, 40, 50 years of our communities and our society. And so it's like reload. That's the way I like to look at it. Society reloads over a period of time and it evolves. People like Dr. Val and myself, we belong to the baby boomer generation. And so most of us are at the place where we're retiring. And so you understand how the next workforce is being birthed every year through what's happening here. And so for us, it's a joy to honor you all in your efforts to graduate and that, because we recognize the fact that you represent the perpetuation of our society. And I'm just so excited about the fact that, you know, whether it's healthcare, business, or whatever it is, that we will have some competent and confident young people that'll be making some changes and making some differences in the world.
Yes, definitely.
Now, let me ask you, with the pandemic being what it has been, did it change your perspective of what you wanted to do as far as medical is concerned?
It still made me do it even more. Knowing that it's a lot of people out here in need of help, and it just made me want to be able to do my part and help out.
Okay, do you think you'll do your own private thing later on as you go, or yes, to create your own business? We were talking about Black Wall Street. How do you envision yourself in the future?
A businesswoman, like, that is, like, I'm already running a few businesses right now, but that is my goal, that I have, you know, multiple businesses under my belt. And definitely I want to have a occupational thing. That's one thing that I do want to focus on a lot. And I would love to have my own, you know, open my own firm and different things like that.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, for one thing, we know that the pandemic did not make you short on ideas and short on ambition and those type of things there. And it sounds like to me, I like what you said, is that when the pandemic hit, to a certain degree, it caused you to refocus and really kind of take life a little bit more seriously. And, you know, as you look forward inside of that. So what do you say to the many individuals who didn't have that experience? You know, perhaps, you know, the pandemic, it was their time that they kind of drifted off, or they kind of lost a sense of hope of where they were going. How were you able to refocus, or to, if you would, to really knuckle down and say, look, I've got to get it? What worked for you?
For me, honestly, in the beginning of my senior year, I did lose focus, and because in the beginning I was affected with myself in the beginning, so I did lose a lot of focus, and really all of the focus that I lost, it really made me like, okay, it's time to get where I need to be and do what I need to do to get my diploma and do what I need to do to get in college and everything. So that's what really made me focus. And also my support system is so strong, and they always are right behind me and making sure that I am on top of what I need to be on top of.
Now, you said you had COVID too?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And how was that?
Oh, wow. It was not a great experience. It honestly made me, I didn't like the feeling, because it made me just want to stay in the bed all day. I didn't want to get up and do anything. I was falling behind on schoolwork. And it was just like, the experience was not great for me, honestly. And with falling behind on schoolwork, it helped me after like realizing that it was time to get focused and do what I need to do to catch up. That's what helped me get all my schoolwork in and get back on, you know, my attendance and everything, because I was not doing good in school at first with that.
Well, I do applaud you for being relentless and not giving up, because in situations like that, it was so much opposition for you to say, oh, I'm just done with this, and why even continue with this medical process and the years that I'll have to invest in it. And now I'm sick. It's a long journey ahead, but you kept persevering. And what would you say would be your greatest motivation in that? And who inspired you the most?
Honestly, my family. Not only my family, my grandma played a huge role in my life. That was another thing. My grandma, she really helped me, praying and talking to her all the time. Really helped me get to where I need to get.
Oh, awesome. That is wonderful. So your next step is going to Bethune-Cookman.
Yes, Valencia. And then I will be going to Cookman.
Wow. I love the fact that you have it all mapped out, all stretched out of those things that you want to do and aspire to do in life. That is so amazing because you see so many distractions in young people these days. It's like, you know, any opposition and they're ready to throw in the towel. And I'm so glad that you're so focused and so eager to press forward.
Well, one thing I want to say that I think is, I want to commend you on, is the fact that, you know, you did your own self-reflection and you recognize the fact that, hey, I'm losing focus. This is not where I want to be. I've got to pull it together. And you kind of came to the point, well, look, if it's going to happen, I've got to do something about it. And I applaud you for that, because sometimes even when we're sick, it's easy to feel the sense of pity, you know, especially the self-pity, especially when, you know, the whole world is being impacted by COVID-19. I too am a COVID-19 survivor, and I didn't want to get to the place where, please, everybody come see about me. No, you had to kick it into gear. And that lethargic feeling that you talked about, man, it was like someone just, you know, was pulling on you, like, stay in bed, don't get up, don't move, and everything. But I really applaud you because of the fact you recognize that, look, I've got to make it happen. Let me ask you, you talked about your grandmother, and your grandmother was an inspiration to you in terms of that, and that village or that support system is so important inside of that. Is that part of your motivation to do this? You know, we often talk to different young people and they say, well, you know, I'm the first one in my family to graduate. I'm the first one going to college. I'm the first one inside of this, or I'm the first daughter, or the first. Was there any of those factors part of your motivation?
Yes, honestly, my grandma is, like I said, she played a huge role in my life. So she is pretty much all of my motivation. And, you know, other than my parents and the rest of my grandma, she really was like that person for me. So it's like I have to do everything that I have to do for her.
Yes. Yes. See, that's what I love about that. I love. And I really think that there's a special place that is reserved in the blessing chamber for young people who recognizes the wind beneath their wing and those that really inspire them. And the fact that I love to say, I've got to do that for her. It's almost as I want her to know that I heard what she said and I appreciate her encouragement. And that's awesome. And I know you're going to do great things. I know that you will. I know that you're going to change the world one plan at a time. And
yes,
we hope to be in tune to what you're doing. And we want others to be in tune with what you're doing. One thing that Dr. Val and I have sought to do, as we've had different guests on the show that was graduating, we want everyone who listen in to take part in this, to help encourage you, to help, you know, we call it sowing a seed into your life. Yes. Because we believe that, you know, whatever we nurture, that's what grow. So we want to nurture the seed inside of you. And so how can people sow in your life? How can people support you?
Well, for me, like, words of encouragement, everything for me, like, it helps me. It helps keep me going. And so words of encouragement, that's something that I would really appreciate.
Well, I appreciate the fact that, you know, you're going through high school and you're working as well. And we want people to sow into you financially. Money makes everybody feel good. So, you know, at different times, people will play the show, especially if they're in that same field that you're aspiring to get to. They don't mind sowing a seed, you know, anything, $20, $30, $40, you know, they can contact you through Cash App. It is the $TEMPRESSS. So that's $TEMPRESS with three S's at the end. Okay, so that's one way that you can support. We want, you know, for 3 weeks now, we've had different graduates on. And if you missed the second show or the first show, we want you to go back and replay the different shows so you can see these individuals that we want to support. You know, Dr. J and I do a lot of giving behind the scenes. You have no idea. All through the year, we sow into people's lives. And because we know that you're our future. So we want other people to join with us and, you know, keep it going, because if we don't support our own, who will? Not saying that your parents or your grandparents can't do it, but it does really take a village. And we believe that everyone that we've connected with and anybody that's graduated had the mind and the courage and the tenacity to stick it out and go through high school and then want to further their education because they want to be somebody. I think we need to sow into that and support that.
Absolutely.
So we will have you back shortly, Deshaya, as we, because we have another guest that we're going to bring on. So I want you to stay in studio for a few minutes, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Dr. J, I'm just so excited about our next generation. You know, these are gonna be people that I'm gonna have to go visit their practices, you know.
Exactly.
For athletic, I may have to stretch out my bones, and then for a doc, I need somebody to keep my cholesterol and sugar intact.
Absolutely. And that's what we're looking at. We're really paying it forward. And that's what we're seeing. We're paying it forward because these young people are our future, and they will be doing things. And time flies so quickly, so absolutely quickly. And, you know, we're talking about these being seniors in high school now graduating. We will look up in 4 and 5 and 6 years, and they might be the people servicing us. Like you said, whether we're going to a spa or going to the occupational therapy center or whatever it may be, they will be there. And it's a great feeling to know that we've sown into their lives. And then both of us haven't had our own children to go to college and see. We understand that. We understand that. And we're not necessarily declaring everybody's struggling, but what we're saying, you shouldn't have to be struggling in order for people to want to support you.
You absolutely shouldn't
be struggling in order for people to want to support you. It's an investment. And that's where I look at it. It's an investment. And I think about, you know, with my kids, there were certain people who invested. They invested, whether it was through a scholarship, they invested through something that they made possible, and paying it forward. I mean, I look forward to each and every one of these young people doing great things, and being able to help them do it says a lot. Says a lot about the courage. Each one of them have their own story. You know, tenacity. We had the activists talk about their activism.
Yes.
You know, they stood up. You know, they wasn't going out like that. And now we talk about a young lady who overcame COVID-19 and said, look here, hey, I can't feel sorry for myself. I got to pull it all together because I have a future ahead of me. I have my grandmother and family members who believe in me. And as a result, they have gone forth. And those are the type of things we want to continue to promote and definitely see the best come out of it.
Absolutely. We have another guest, and I'm so excited to bring. So we have a young man. Cedric Turnier, who's visiting us today. How are you, Cedric?
I'm doing very well. Hope you all are.
Oh, I love that voice. You graduated college.
Oh, yeah, sure did. I went to the illustrious, illustrious, Winston-Salem State University.
Wow, okay. It's such a handsome young man.
Ah, stop. Thank you.
That's a great school. I have a nephew who also is an alumni of Winston-Salem State University.
I'm sure he's a great person.
Yeah, he's absolutely great. His major was accounting. He did some international accounting things, and he loved it. As a matter of fact, in going there, I remember driving all the way there for the graduation. And man, cell phones were kind of fairly new. And I was talking on the phone, and I was trying to find where he was, and I walked right into a clear door.
Phone
and everything else like that. And it was that time I saw him on the other side of the glass, and I said, congratulations.
They get the best of you. They get the best of you.
Yes, but I'm definitely proud of you, and I congratulate you. I'm always glad to see graduates, but particularly always glad to see a young male, and particularly young black male, to find his stride and to graduate from college. And I'm going to ask you, how did the pandemic impact you, especially, you know, your senior year, and how did it impact you far as finishing up? You know, did you lose focus? Did you find yourself having to shift your focus, or how did it impact you?
Okay, so initially, I try not to let it necessarily get in my way, because, you know, matriculation is matriculation, no matter how you look at it, you know. But I will say the biggest obstacle for me was probably having to shift my learning style, because I'm someone who's very hands-on. Right. My major was psychology, and that's a pretty hands-on field of work. So, like, most of the learning I got took part in, like, labs and the in-person lectures where I could ask questions, just raise my hand, you know, and things like that. So when the pandemic first started, I'm not going to say I lost motivation, but I struggled academically because it was just such a big thing to overcome, because, like I said, I'm very hands-on. So with the virtual learning process, it was not only a learning curve for me, but also a teaching curve for my professors. So thank God I went to a university where the professors were willing to hold your hand through this process as much as, you know, you'd have to hold theirs. So it was very much so a teamwork kind of environment, so that everybody can bring the best out of everybody. But I would just say my professors definitely helped me take that learning curve out of the way. But I would definitely say having to change my learning style was probably the biggest obstacle for sure.
Well, you spoke the mouthful there, because the fact change is inherent and it will happen. And in this case, though you were comfortable, and like I am uncomfortable, like you, hands on and those type things.
Right.
This shifted the way that you had to learn. But the thing is that you recognize the fact that by any means necessary, I've got to get this. These things are important. I'm making adaptation. And from all of this, you think about it now. We're now dealing with what we call virtual care, you know, virtual counseling session, virtual everything. So perhaps it was to be, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. And perhaps that, you know, that adversity and things have fueled a whole industry, you know, telemedicine now, telecounseling, and the thing about it, what I like about what you said was the fact that you recognized the fact that as much as it was a new process to you, it was also a new process to your professors. So in many ways you held each other's hands and you both found strength to get through it in terms of that. And your background, your major was psychology?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Real good. So what do you look to do in the field? Are you looking to go into practice? Are you looking to do some clinical social work? Or what is it that you foresee yourself doing?
Well, I actually want to go back into the business industry. When I first got to college, I was a business administration major. I took the classes and they were fairly easy, but I didn't feel that sense of belonging or that sense of this is the program I want to be in. So I switched my major to psychology, and I was still interested in business. So they have a psychological program called IO psychology, which is like industrial organizational psychology. I know it's a mouthful, but it's sort of like human resource work, where you just make sure you have a balanced work life. You maintain a healthy environment in the workplace. Everything's up to code. Certain rules and laws are being upheld in the workplace. So I think that's the industry I want to go into.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up, because so often, you know, we put a blanket on psychology, you know, like, OK, definitely. Psychology, one for no. There's so many different fields and so many different aspects of it inside of it that oftentimes we don't even realize how we're being impacted by. You know, you talk about the workplace and so many things that have to happen, even for human resources and knowing how to deal with people, how to project forward. You know, how do we determine the necessity? What's the next thing that's coming out, and how does it impact people? So that's amazing. And I think for most of the people we've interviewed, almost everyone all had a hand in business, whether their major was one thing. It was all about still the business aspect of it. And I think that's very important going forward inside of things, because the business aspect is so crucial and critical in this day and time. Understanding it is the difference between having a job and literally creating a job.
Literally.
You know, I think that's important.
May I comment on that?
Yes.
I most certainly agree, especially being people of color. I hate to say it, but in the reality of it is that we were held back for quite some time, you know?
Yes.
And we didn't have that head start that other people had. So right. I think that now that Black people are starting to like kind of wake up a little bit, and we're like getting on our feet, and the entrepreneurial spirit is growing within us, especially within our community. It's mm-hmm. a huge step forward. Like, this is a monumental step for the culture of people of color, because now we're finally becoming these free thinkers. A lot of times people say school teaches you how to become a worker. But now what we're doing is we're taking this knowledge we're receiving, and we're advancing ourselves in our community and bringing people with us. And that's a togetherness that people of color need. So I'm happy to see that it's finally coming around, and you're seeing in a young generation, and it's starting to transcend to people who will be after us, and even some people who are coming before us.
You know, I'm excited about that as well, because you're a young man and you're saying our generation. So I'm so glad that there's a generation like you that wants to be someone and instead be a statistic. And, you know, you want to be a prospect and not a suspect, especially where people label you just by what you would look like. And you have to work even harder as a Black male. I see it in my sons. My sons have to carry themselves to a higher level, a higher standard to get the respect they need and make sure that they are dressed accordingly. So how difficult was it for you going through those 4 years of college? Did you work through college?
I worked halfway through college.
Okay.
Just like the young lady who spoke before me, I went to a community college, which I know she plans on going, but I went to a community college before I transferred to Winston-Salem State University. And when I was there, I was working part-time at a sneaker store. And that helped me monumentally, like financially. I also learned a lot of key values and hard skills and soft skills, you know, things that you need to put yourself in those rooms with people who are going to become those movers and shakers in the future.
More so responsibility.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. And you know, and that's so important, you know, that you wanted to be take tutelage under someone so that you can have some benchmarks to want to accomplish during that process of your 4 years, and actually ultimately takes you into adulthood so that you know that you want to be in business because you worked for someone who had a business.
Exactly.
So for you to be focused and watch that process, and I know with me, I always worked hard, and I don't know, God always favored me with Jewish bosses where I was always their right hand. They would trust me to run their companies. And that's how I learned business. They taught me everything they knew. You know, some people get on a job and they just, you know, do enough just to keep from being fired. Well, I wanted to know because I knew that they were in business and they were making money and they were willing to teach me how to make money. So that's how I kept evolving and knowing how to do business and how to do money, because I watched what successful people do. And see, that's where it comes in, where you have to watch the company that you keep. So how difficult was it for you to draw a line of separation between that?
I'll honestly say not at all. For two reasons. For one, no great there isn't anybody who's ever been successful that never had a mentor. So approaching a situation like that, it'll make you a little more hungry, a little more observant. It'll make you a little more motivated to be that person that can be on top when that person ahead of you needs to walk away or step away or handle other things. Secondly, at Winston-Salem State, one thing they typically say around the campus is you have to be uncomfortable. You have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. So that actually ties me. I actually have three things, not two. The third thing is your attitude. So my attitude was always be humble, be coachable, and be adaptable. So me carrying myself in that light or with that mindset always kept me my head on straight and then going that direction I needed to go to become the successful person that I dream to become. So I don't think it's very hard for me at all.
Absolutely. Well, it's nothing like a well-made up mind. And I think that when you really start thinking about why I'm in college, and you really understand why you're there, it makes it a little bit more clearer. You know, depends on the individual. Many people, you know, oh man, I can't wait to get to college. I'm a party, it's party time. It's all that. And we're not saying that doesn't happen. It does. But it always has to be this clear delineation between me and my studies and me and this other stuff here, because at the end of the day, you can party anytime. I mean, I like to say, let's get my work done now. Let me celebrate later. Because if I celebrate prematurely and I don't get my work done, then guess what? Everything is bust. It's bust anyway. And so I applaud you there because of the fact that there are some principles that you talked about, being humble, being coachable, and being adaptable. Those things are so
important. It sounds like he's been listening to Les Brown.
It does. It does. But I commend you there because of the fact it has definitely contributed to where you're going. And it sounds like that your motor is still going, that you're still hungry. You still want more. And you still want to pursue more. And I definitely applaud you inside of that. How can people support you? How can people, I mean, many people are listening and this live right now, many will listen to it afterwards, and we're going to share it, and we're asking everyone who's listening to share the broadcast. But how can people definitely support you inside of your endeavors and where you're going?
People can show me that they've heard this message and interpreted this message, or support me by going out and getting whatever goal that they set out to do the morning they woke up and listened to this video. That's what's important. I think keeping a positive mindset, keeping a vision of where you want to go, will always propel you forward. And like you guys mentioned earlier, like me doing these talks or things like that, or even me listening to someone else say the same thing I'm saying to someone else, that's pushing the envelope forward. And that's how we as a community will get ourselves together. And one more thing, I have my Cash App, yes, but I will say I'm humbly not rich. That just happened to be the name. It is CJ's Rich, but I come from very humble beginnings, and I'm definitely not rich. But
The thing, CJ, I just love it because to me it speaks differently. It speaks prophetically. CJ's Rich. It's like, hey, I'm on my way. Okay.
Yeah, I love that. It's $ CJS Rich, RICH. So I really like that Cash App you have there, because like Dr. J said, it's speaking prophetically of where you aspire to go. And I like the fact that all of our young people that we have, when we're actually going to bring in back in Deshaya and Danielle, and because these young people, they have really, really worked hard to achieve the goals that they've achieved this far, and they're looking to pay it forward. So we as a people, we really need to support them and bring them up to a higher level by supporting them financially. And when you see them working on something, you can follow them through their social media to see what they're doing. Me and Dr. J, we randomly just put money in people's accounts and in people's hands, because that's just who we are. We're givers. And we both have nonprofits. Mine is The Soul of a Woman, which is for domestic violence and children in single parent homes. And Dr. J has his nonprofit too as well. Dr. J, you can tell individuals about that.
Definitely. My nonprofit is My Choice, and it's also addressing domestic violence, the issue of powerlessness, and we address other issues such as the fact of, if you will, systemic racism and things of that nature. So those things are very important to us, because we know that those things can be a barrier to people's success in their lives, and it can rob them of their future. And like Dr. Val says, it gives us great joy to do this is our joy. We're both parents. We laugh, you know, even offset. You know, our kids have gone through college now, some just a few years ago, and things. And so we know this path that you're taking, and we're excited about it because we know that you represent our future. And we just want to make sure that people know that you're out there, because you guys are our future. Simple as that. We are the baby boomers, and we're retiring. We're the last of the baby boomers and everything. And your generation will be people that will be coming to the sea and be booking an appointment with you, Cedric, where you say, okay, when did it all begin? You know, no, okay. You know, or coming there where you are denying because of the fact of what you do, and definitely Danielle. So we understand and paying it forward that what we're doing is that we're investing into the future. We're proud of each and every one of you, because, you know, you all had challenges that we could not have fathomed. Pandemic, up under a time where the world was panicking, not knowing which way to go. And you guys managed to hold serve and remain focused and say, look, I got to get it. And so we're excited about it, and we want to make sure that others are excited about it. And I'm quite sure before we end, we're going to put your Cash Apps back up there again. Danielle, I must have put something in wrong for your Cash App because it kept shooting back at me. So I'm going to make sure that I get that one right. I was successful with the other two, but I just want everyone to share. Please, I'm challenging you to support these young people because I'm telling you, I'm writing their names down, because when I look up in a few years and I'm reading about them and I'm hearing the great things they're doing, I'm going to be able to say, you know what? I had a part inside of that. And that makes a difference.
Yeah, that brings me a lot of joy, Dr. J. You know, I have four kids that went through college. At one point, I had all four of them in school at the same time and yeah, as a single parent. So that was not easy. But, you know, you leap and grow wings on the way down.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I enjoyed being a mother, and I really enjoyed being a grandmother. Because then they could go home and look at those little cute little faces, and I don't have to do the real work. But it is always so exciting to see individuals like Danielle and Deshaya and Cedric that are focused and are going to be able to pay what we do for them. They will also pay it forward. So we need to keep that in mind. And the only way they'll be able to pay it forward is if we support them now, while they're trying to get to where they're going to get. So, Deshaya, what's next for you?
For me, honestly, just focus and keep myself on the right path to get everything I need to get done as far as college and the future, honestly.
And what would you say to encourage a young girl that's like in junior high school and they're getting ready to go to college, to go to high school and then college, what would you do or say to encourage them?
What I would do, be selfish with this and with the things that you want to do in life. Not be selfish that way, but be selfish with the good things in your life. As in with your health and with your happiness and just everything that you want to do. And honestly, keep your head on straight. And for anybody that's in your support system, use them and just let them love on you, because a lot of times we try to center ourselves out with everybody that's around us or not try to take it and then from our family members like that. But I would say that always just take heed to what the things that they're telling you, because they've been through it.
Real good.
Okay. Real good. Danielle, what would you say, especially you being a young activist and all?
I would tell the kids to keep going and don't stop until you're proud. Don't stop until you're proud. Not until everybody else around you is proud, but until you're proud. Because at the end of the day, you'll have yourself. It'll be you. So you need to make sure that you're happy with what you're doing and you're proud of what you're doing before anybody else.
Awesome. Cedric.
Attitude is everything. If you see someone who is in that position you want to get acquainted with them, network, and just stay positive and stay humble. And the good thing is that the things that you want will come to pass.
Awesome.
Now awesome. I want to ask each of you for you to answer me as well. So, Sarah, did you find yourself having to support some of your classmates to motivate them to keep forward?
Yes. Like as I mentioned before, with the whole online learning process, we all had to have each other. And that's why, that's another reason I'm happy I went to Winston-Salem State University, because the family environment and the culture there is very we instead of I. So if just as many people that were leaning on me, I was leaning on probably twice that amount of people as well. So we all had each other. So yes, I would definitely say so.
Thank you. Deshaya?
I was helping out other students and just being there for even family members, because it's easy to just be like, oh, I don't feel like getting up in the morning to get on class, or it's easy to do that with being home and being able to be in your bed and doing your work at home. It's easy to just be like, okay, I don't want to do this. Oh, okay, I'll do my work and just procrastinate about it. So yes, I was able to be there for some of my other fellow students and family members.
Danielle?
The question was, how are you motivating?
Did you have to motivate or, you know, pull some of your classmates or your surrounding family members so that they can stay focused and not give up?
Yes, it was a teamwork type of thing. We all got through it together in my class, especially with me and the teams I work with, like the basketball team and the football team. It was like, look, we got to get this done, because how Cedric said, it's like they were talking about how we had to switch our learning styles. So with that, we had to work together, like work in study groups and things like that, because our class was like, we're going to get through this together. So we kind of relied on each other as a class.
Awesome. So Dr. J, this has really been an awesome show. We've met some amazing ladies and this young man. I'm so excited about him, especially Mr. Cedric here. He's like talking like he already owns a multi-million dollar company.
Thank you.
Well, you know, that's the attitude that you have to have. And the thing about it is, each and every one of you, you're not entering into it blindly. You recognize that it takes some things. And one of the things that I heard in the backdrop really was the fact of you guys recognizing the fact that it's our time, it's your time, the opportunity to capitalize, to stand on the shoulders of those that came before you, and to oftentimes take what we did not get or the things that was fought for, and now it's time for you to take your portion of it, because you're going to pay it forward inside of it. The impossibilities, the things that was once impossible, I love it. The entrepreneurial spirit. I heard a couple of you talk about many different streams of incomes and different things. Absolutely. Go for it, because the fact all of it is necessary. I do believe, from what I hear from each and every one of you, is this declaration of the fact that we're not going back. We're going forward. And I think that's the attitude that you have to have, that you are going forward. You're going forward because you know that you are destined to do so. And to not do it would really be to cheat yourself and to cheat everyone that that has believed in you. So as you go forward, I want you to know that we're going to continue to not only support you, we'll be praying for you. And definitely we're going to continue to share, because you all make us proud. Capital P-R-O-U-D. And together we're the proud family, right?
Well, I want to add, before I know we're almost out of time, but I just want to know from each one of them, how important is it for legacy and those things that you were taught from your family, and the importance of you passing what you were taught forward, as well as building your own legacy? Danielle, let's begin with you.
I think that are important. I don't even know how to answer this question, but legacies are very important, because looking back on my family, especially my dad's side of the family, they came from Haiti. And so when they came over here, they made a huge difference for us, and they are relying on us to keep that
absolutely
energy moving forward. So me and my brother CJ, Cedric, are going to work forward to keep that going in our oncoming generations and making a huge difference.
Awesome. Deshaya?
Yeah, so for me, definitely for the next generation and the generations after us, because not only are we carrying legacy from our past and bringing it to our bringing it to our generation, but for the generations to come as well, because we gotta help it keep going.
Awesome, Cedric.
I agree with Deshaya and Danielle. Legacy is everything, because when we're gone, what we left behind is what our children and grandchildren will be left with to start. So the way I see it is that the bigger impact I leave, the bigger the head start my children and grandchildren will have in life. And I think that's very important, considering as people of color, again, we're playing catch up. So our job is to not only catch up, but surpass. So legacy is literally everything.
Yeah. Well, you know, you sound like a man after my own heart inside of that. Legacy is what I preach. Legacy is what I live. I continue to do so. Proud father of 4 sons and 1 daughter, and all of them went to school. And like Dr. Val, I had 4 in college at one time. And it was interesting. You know, I had 2 graduates of UCF and 1 graduate. She did both FAM and Florida State. And then the others, college up in Cleveland. He would just really get me. Remington College there in Cleveland, I got it. But it was an interesting thing, because they eventually pushed each other. You know, they pushed each other. It's like, you got to do it, you know, and they believe that. But the thing I'd leave with you is the expectation. Set the expectation high enough that they have something to reach toward. And I think that's the thing. And I love what you said, Danielle, because you said, look, considering the fact that my parents, they come from Haiti. And so the whole thing coming here was a dream. And we got to keep reaching for the dream, making sure that the next generation, because that's what your parents did. They made it so that you all have an opportunity that they did not necessarily have. And that's what we do. Every generation ought to be able to be the next stepping stone or the step up for the next generation. And I think you guys are going to make them proud. I know you made me proud. And I'm looking forward to great things from each of you.
Absolutely. You know, Dr. J, I'm always talking about legacy and paying it forward. Yes, yes. And, you know, making sure that we don't forget the foundations that were laid from people like Dr. King, Malcolm X. You know, we have generations upon generations of people that we can pull from, our inner strength of survival. And we need to take advantage of that foundation that was laid and not discard it for a cheap thrill, so that we can really pull our family lineage forward. We all want to be somebody, or should aspire to be someone. And I'm so glad that our guests and the guests we've had for the last 2 weeks have everything in them to achieve greatness, because greatness is truly a choice. And I'm so glad that they chose it. This has been another Hot Topics from the Soul. And I'm so glad that you each had a chance to tune in. Thank you so much for joining us, Cedric. And we wish you well in all your endeavors. And we hope to connect with you soon to see what your next looks like.
Thank you.
And Deshaya, we are so glad that you also joined us. And I am excited about you. Dr. J, you have any words for Deshaya?
My words for Deshaya is this. Continue to shine bright in the face of adversity. It is when you will be introduced to the strength that's inside of you. And so you'll make that difference because of the fact that you recognize that you've been built. You've been built for what you're about to encounter. And go for it. Know that wind is against your back and it's only going to lift you higher.
Thank you.
Yeah, I see those angel wings behind her, because that's what we call medical individuals, wings, angels.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Danielle, words for Danielle, Dr. J.
Danielle, the spirit that you have upon you is such a free spirit, but determined spirit. I want you to know you discovered your voice in the midst of adversity. And so never be afraid to speak your voice and speak what's in your heart, because as you've already seen, it unlocks doors, it unlocks situations. Impossible is not a word in your vocabulary. You are a possibility possessor, and take hold of every possibility that is there.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again for tuning in. Dr. J, I'm so excited, as I said. I mean, I probably won't be able to sleep my Alex always say, what's up? I said, I can't sleep because my mind is always going, you know, and that's how entrepreneurial spirits are. And I want all those that have tuned in to remember what I said about let us embrace our young people, because if we don't, no one else will. You know, we see all these mass shootings and people living recklessly and taking individuals' lives, but then you have people that are focused. Let us as a community support those individuals that are focused and want to be somebody and want to go somewhere. It's up to us. It really is. And, you know, and that's what we've been doing. I think we were 35 years we've known each other. Exactly. And we've been doing the same thing. We've sold into strangers' lives, and we're going to continue to do that. I'm going to do it until my last breath. And I've you know, passed down to my children legacies. They watched me do this, and they in turn do it. Each one of my children, David, Daniel, Latoya, Stephanie, each one of them, even Destiny, they are givers. They are supporters. They still in people's lives. And I know your sons are the same way. It's because we've laid that foundation that it's not about us. It is not always about us, but it's always about what God wants to do through us.
You know, and that's what we mean when we talk about paying it forward. And every individual must know that we have an influence in the lives of our children and the lives of other people. Because at the end, if our presence in their life don't make a difference, our absence won't either. So we make every moment count.
Absolutely. And you can always visit Dr. J's website, www.jrthicklin.com. That's www.jrthicklin.com.
Absolutely.
And thank you for tuning in for another Hot Topics from the Soul. God bless. And we thank you for tuning in next Tuesday for another Hot Topics from the Soul. Good night and God bless.
Good night.